We'll be reading verses 69 through 75. Try not to hold you too long. I know Preacher Tim got you burnt. Got all of you spoiled. Used to getting out early. Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I want to preach a little while this morning on the subject, camouflage Christians. Camouflage Christians. How many hunters do we have? Why do you wear camouflage? To blend in with the surroundings around you so that you don't be seen. That's what Peter tried to do here, but he wasn't able to do so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to be in your house, Lord. We thank you for this privilege. God, we thank you for these that have made their way. God, I pray now that you be with us. I ask, Lord, that you anoint your servant, God. Give me the word that needs to be spoken. God, I pray that your spirit will touch every heart and soul that's here. God, we pray that you just have your will and way in everything that's said and done, and may it bring glory and honor to you. For this we ask in thy blessed and holy name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We are living in a time when it's hard to tell the Christian from the sinner. There's so many today who want to blend in with the world. They want to hang on to the world and live in the world and take part of the world, but yet they want the title of Christian hung on with them also. We can go as far as to say there's some that's in here even this morning that's already made up your mind. You're not coming back tonight. And to try to get some of you to come on Wednesday night is like pulling teeth. You want too much of the world. You want to hang on too much of the world. And it's not just you. It's everywhere. In every church, I can promise you, every church has the same problem. You have your Sunday morning crowd, which is your dedicated Christians, who's going to be there through thick and thin, no matter what takes place, no matter what happens. They're going to be there on Sunday night. It doesn't matter what's coming their way, and they're definitely going to be there on Wednesday night. Why? Because they love the Lord. They don't just have that title Christian hung on them, but they live it each and every day. In Peter's case, his speech gave him away. When you look at it, he was blending in to the world too much. When you look at the other gospel that tells us that Peter was there in Luke, I believe it is, warming himself by the fire. But his surrounding, the way that he dressed, the way that he looked, and even the way that he talked gave him away as being a Galilean. It gave him away as being one of the disciples of Christ. Now, Peter denied. Christ had already told him, before the cock crowed three times, you're going to deny me. Luke tells us also that when he denied Christ that third time, his eyes and Christ's eyes met one another. And immediately Peter remembered what Christ had said to him. Immediately he remembered what Christ told him. And the scripture tells us that he went away and wept bitterly. See, he could deny the fact that he was a follower of Christ. But there's so many today who don't want to let others know that they're a Christian. They don't want others to know that they go to church. They don't want others to know that they're trying to live a Christian life. And it's by the way that they walk, the places that they go, the words that come from their mouth. I've even heard people in God's house curse, using four-letter words and some even more than that. It's a shame when God's people act this way. Paul tells us that when we accept Christ, we become new creatures. Old things are passed away. All things become new. So the language, that tells me that the language that we once used, we don't use that language anymore because God took that away from us. And one of the worst things that I hear now is the thing that there's so many, especially young Christians, who want to have a little social drink. Come on. Can I tell you this? One little social drink leads to another drink, which leads to another drink. And before you know it, you're an alcoholic. I know because I lived with one for several years. And the only thing that they were concerned about was where that next drink was going to come from, how they were going to get that next drink. It's the same way with a drug addict. The only thing they're concerned about is where they're going to get that next fix. It doesn't matter about anything else. It doesn't matter whether you got power in the house or if you got water running. It don't even matter if you got a roof over your head. As long as you got that next fix. And there's too many Christians today who are trying to blend into the world. They want to act like the world. They want to talk like the world. They want to dress like the world. I believe that there should be a standard when you go to God's house. I believe that we should wear the very best that we got when we go to God's house. Now, if your best is a t-shirt and a pair of blue jeans, that's fine. Everybody don't dress up in a suit. And believe me, I wouldn't have one on if I didn't have to. Amen. It's the part of the uniform. But there's so many who want to hang on to the world and live for Christ at the same time. You cannot do both. It's got to be either one or the other. Peter tried to blend in. The scripture tells us, then began he to curse and to swear. To curse and to swear. Why does people like to use these words? I mean, to me, they're the standard. When you're saved, you should act like it. When you're a child of God, you don't have to walk around carrying a sign saying, I'm a Christian. People are see it in the life that you live each and every day. They know it by the words that comes out of your mouth. They know it by the way that you act. You don't have to act like the world. You don't have to be with the world. You should be different. Be different than the world. Why is it so hard? I'm going to get ahead of myself. Why is it so hard to be a witness for Christ? One of the problems is they see in you the same thing that they are. And when they see in you the same way that they are, why should they even go to church? Why should they even try to serve God? I mean, they're living the same way that you're living. You say that you're on your way to heaven. They're on their way to heaven then. There's no need. There's no standards anymore. There's no liability. There's consequences for the life that we live. There's consequences for the choices that we make. When we say that we're a Christian, it's not just something you do on Sunday morning. It's something that we do 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Every day. Are we going to be perfect? No. None of us are going to be perfect. But we should strive to be perfect. Live for Christ the very best that we can each and every day. His speech gave him away. The clothes that he wore gave him away. Why? They knew that he was from Galilee by the clothes that he was wearing, the way that he dressed. And see, and the only reason Peter was there was because John happened to know the high priest and was able to get him through the gate. But when he got through the gate, people started recognizing him as one that followed Christ. They started recognizing the fact that he was with Christ on many different occasions. Even the one whose ear Peter had cut off recognized him in the Garden of Gethsemane. So how can you deny these things? His speech gave him away. His dress gave him away. His habits give him away. See, people have certain habits. When I say that, let me say this. Both of my sons are here. When they were growing up, they didn't ask, are we going to church? They didn't have to ask that question. They knew to get up, get dressed, because we're going to church this morning. It wasn't something that had to be determined. It wasn't something that you had to ask. It was a habit that we had every time the church doors was open. They didn't ask. They just knew because they were raised that way. See, I wasn't raised that way. We went on Sunday morning, yeah. Sunday school, Sunday morning preaching. But we didn't go back on Sunday night. We didn't go back on Wednesday night. But see, habits can be broken. When I got saved, those habits changed. The things that I used to do, my boys never saw me take a drink. But yet, at the age of 13, I was an alcoholic. They never once saw me take a drink. I'd done the drinking. I'd done the drugs. I'd done everything. But they never saw that side of me. Because those were skeletons. Those were things in my past that were stuck up in the closet just as far and deep up in there as I could get it. And they wasn't to be brought back out. See, just because I was raised one way, I always wanted in my life to make sure that my children were raised different. I wanted them to have a different life than what I had. And they had that different life. And it paid off. It paid off. Are they perfect? No. By no means. I could tell you some things. But I thank God that they're serving him. That's the main thing. But what I see in myself, I saw in them, they are now teaching their children to do the same thing. Peter's habits was to Peter gave up everything. He forsook everything to follow Christ. He left his occupation. He left his family. He left everything for that period of time of 3 years or more that he followed Christ. He gave it all up to worship him. And he could not deny it because Christ was all over him. When Christ is all over you, people are going to see it in the life that you live every day. Biblical separation. Why do we have so many camouflaged Christians? We have a lot of Christians who don't study their Bible like they should. It's sad to say that there's so many Christians who never touched their Bible till they start out on Sunday morning and to reach over there and grab it and carry it out with them. It's sad to say that so many Christians have forsaken their prayer life. Can I tell you that there's power in prayer? And sometimes when a lot of Christians go to God in prayer, they wonder why their prayers are not being answered. It's because of the fact you only pray once a month. Or maybe you only pray when you need something. When's the last time you just went to God in prayer and said, thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you bestowed upon me. Thank you, Lord, for putting the food on my table. Thank you, Lord, for the clothes that I have on my back. Thank you, Lord, for the roof that I have over my head. Thank you, Lord, for my godly family. Thank you, Lord, for my church and my church family. Thank you, Lord, just for saving me. Amen. See, we can go to him in prayer and not ask for anything. Because he knows our needs before we even ask anyway. They've forgotten their biblical standards. And going back to the fact, many people have forgotten where God's house is. They go on Sunday morning, but like I said before, they don't come back on Sunday night. They don't come back on Wednesday night. And it amazes me how many people only show up when you're going to have a dinner. You don't ever see them till there's food on the table. When we're being fed each time we come into God's house. They've forgotten and given up all their basic principles. And then they wonder why God doesn't hear them. They wonder why they can't prosper in their Christian life. These are camouflaged Christians. These are those who want to hang on to the world, but yet they want to hang on to the church also. They want to hang on to the things of the world, and they want to hang on to Christ. They want to hang on to their old friends in the world, but yet they want to grab hold of the new friends in the church. Can I tell you, old friends will drag you down. They'll drag you down. And they'll persuade you, even though you think, well, I'll be their friend. I'll get them to come to church. I'll lead them to the Lord. 9 out of 10 times, they'll get you out of church. They'll get you out of church. God's word tells us in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present yourselves as living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. God can't use a dead sacrifice. God didn't save us just to sit around and do nothing. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. But in verse 2, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform. Our mind changes. Our attitude changes. Everything about us changes when we get saved. I've seen them go to the altar, and I've seen them cry these great big crocodile tears, and they get up and go out the door, and nothing's changed. But I've also seen them go to the altar, and they meant business when they got there. A change took place in their life. That change that Paul's talking about here, that transformation that took place, their old habits changed. Their old way of talking changed. Their old way of dress changed. God expects us to invite people to church. But sometimes people come to church, and they don't dress the same way that we do. And it's sad to say that many times church people turn their nose up at them. They won't speak to them. They won't have anything to do with them, really. God never told us to clean them up. He just said, catch them. That's all he said. Catch them. He'll take care of the cleaning. Because when a person comes to God's house and they hear God's word and that change takes place, they get saved, they're washed in the blood of the Lamb, they start noticing how other people act. They start noticing how other people dress. And they start noticing the different things about other people doing. And they start eventually making that change themselves on their own. You don't have to tell them a thing. You don't have to say anything to them because God will take care of them. I made the statement one time before. How many of you ever went fishing and caught a fish already cooked, laid on the platter, ready to eat? Nobody. Nobody. And a child, a sinner is the same way. They're not going to come into God's house and automatically start acting like a Christian. It's not going to happen. It takes time. They need somebody to take them under the wing and sort of lead them along so they know which way to go. The same way Christ done with those 12 disciples that he had. It took him 3.5 years, and Peter still messed up. He still denied to even know him. He wouldn't even call him by name. He just called him the man. I don't know the man. Cursing and swearing. Second point. They can't win souls. Camouflage Christians cannot win souls. Got any idea why? I mentioned it before. Because they hanging on to the world. Living like the world, and the world sees them the way that they are. They don't see a difference or a change that's taking place in their life. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. They're fruitless. God saved us to bear fruit. But a camouflaged Christian is fruitless. John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever ye shall ask in the Father in my name, he shall give it you. So there's no fruit there. They can't be a soul winner because they act too much like the world. The people that they're trying to tell about Christ, they act just like them. The drinking, the cursing, the dress, all this stuff, everything the same. So then that instead of not just being fruitless, they also are barren. Barren. They can't do anything. He said in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 and 8 through 8. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't tell somebody about something that you don't know nothing about. You can't tell somebody about Christ if you don't know about him yourself. It's like trying to tell some... Never mind. But you cannot do it. A person that is barren is of no good to God. They're not doing anything. All they're doing is warming a pew seat whenever they come to do that. We need to be busy about the Father's business. We need to be busy about the Father's work. As we said, God didn't save us just to sit around and do nothing. He saved us to bear fruit. And if we're not bearing fruit, we're of no good to him. Now don't get me wrong. I know for a fact, been there, done that, everybody you witness to, everybody you tell about Christ, they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen. But I've seen the fact where somebody was invited to church, and the person that invited them to church wasn't even there the Sunday that they came. What kind of example did that set? They're in a sinful condition. And we're nearing the end here. They are in a sinful condition. Revelation 3:15-16. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God says he wished that we were either cold, on fire for him, or we weren't. He wants us to be one or the other. Can I tell you, you cannot straddle the fence. You cannot straddle the fence. You cannot hang on and serve God and hang on to the world at the same time. You got to let one or the other go. It will drive you crazy if you don't. It'll drive you insane. So many people wonder why so many things happen in their life. And believe me, I know, things are going to happen. They're going to happen in our life. Just because we accept Christ, just because we get saved, doesn't mean bad things aren't going to happen to us. They are going to happen. We are going to suffer. There are going to be trials that we're going to have to face. There are going to be tribulations. There are going to be things that we're going to have to go through each and every day. But we, as a child of God, can hold on to the hand of the one who can lead us through the valley back up to the mountaintop if we so choose to do so. But here, when a person's got sin in their life is miserable. They can't do anything for God. It seems like nothing goes right. Right in their life, they need to repent and ask God to forgive them. Repent. Repentance is something that everybody needs. I have to ask for forgiveness every day. Whether I've done anything wrong or not, I'm still going to ask for forgiveness because I want to make sure everything's right between me and him. I got one goal in mind, and that's to make it to heaven. That's to make it to heaven. Everything else is fine. God will take care of everything else. People ask me sometimes, well, what about your house? What about your property? All this. It's given to them. And I don't care if they bulldoze it down. I don't care. I won't need it no more. It doesn't matter. What matters to me is being at the feet of the one who suffered and died for me. He gave his all for me. So why should I not give my all to him? Why should you not give your all to him? Why try to hang on to the world? Satan's got a lot of people fooled. Whether you realize it or not, he's got a lot of people fooled. Social drinking doesn't lead you anywhere. If you just want to be a part of this group over here, maybe in reality, you don't need to be part of that group over there. Need to find a new group. A godly group. A group that you have something in common with. A group that you can sit down and take God's word and open it up and discuss it and know that it doesn't matter, you know, your opinion, my opinion, it doesn't matter. But it's what's in God's word. It's how God says it. A group that you can sit down and pray with. You know that they got you back when something's going wrong in your life and you have a need in your life. You need these kind of groups. Not those that's going to tear you down. Not those that's going to discourage you. Not those that's going to try to drag you down to their level. I don't want to go down to their level. I want to go up to his level. And that's what every child of God should want. To go up to his level. Will we ever be there? Nope, but I'm doing the best I can to get there. The best that I can. Last thing, we're going to close with this. Maybe it's time to trade in the camouflage for a suit of armor. Satan's going to fight us every day. We need the protection of God to make it. This world that we're living in is getting worse and worse every day. If you haven't noticed that, I'll go ahead and tell you. But it's no secret. All you have to do is read the back of the book. Read the back of the book. It'll tell you. When I was pastoring High Point, I kept telling them that this was just the beginning. It's going to get worse and worse. And it's still getting worse and worse every day. Can I tell you, it's not going to be long till the eastern sky is going to split and Christ is going to step out on the clouds and call his bride home. Amen. We're closer today than we've ever been before in our life. Any day now, Christ could return. Are you ready? Or is there something in this world that you're hanging on to? Something that would interfere with you leaving this world? I don't care the first thing about flying. Airplane, helicopter, no. But that's one flight I'm going to take and leave all my cares behind. What about you today? When we look in Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11, while they can get a song of invitation, that finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor of God. We need everything to protect us against Satan. We need Christ in our lives to protect us. We don't need to be trying to hang on to this or trying to hang on to that. We need to hang on to him. If the only way you can make it to heaven is to be handcuffed to God, then go buy you the best pair of handcuffs you can get, put one on your arm and one on his, and hang on. Amen.